Good morning and happy Easter, everyone. Catechism 2021, the 14th Lord's Day. Lord's Day number 14, we'll begin with a prayer, and then I have questions 35 and 36. Father, we worship you. We give you thanks. I ask you to still our hearts that we might enjoy and be transformed by a bit of your word, of your truth this morning. Let your Holy Spirit work in our hearts, transform us to the likeness of Christ in a culture, in an age where to do what we want to do is celebrated, but to do what you would have us do is frowned upon and mocked. I pray for a day of great repentance. This can only come from you. And so we ask for the time being, this short amount of time we have in your word, bless us for your name, for your glory. In Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, question 35. What does it mean that he, Jesus, was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary? If you want the background for that, for some reason this is the first one of these Catechism 2021s that you're seeing, go back and look at the previous Lord's Day. This section that we're in right now is on Jesus, the Son of God. So it's asking specifically about him being conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. What does that mean? It means that the eternal Son of God, who is and remains true and eternal God, that's so important, because whatever else it says that he did or whatever else that happened when he was conceived, it did not change his essential nature of being eternal Son of God. He is and remains true eternal God. He took to himself, through the working of the Holy Spirit, from the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, a truly human nature, so that he might become David's true descendant. The promised Redeemer was to be a descendant of David. The conquering king was promised and foreshadowed to be a descendant of David, a truly human nature, so that he might become David's true descendant, the Redeemer, like his brothers in every way except for sin. So, sinless is part of this. He was like his brothers in every way except for sin. So he was truly a human being, but did not have a sin nature like you and I have, or every other human being has. And he remained eternal Son of God. He is and remains true eternal God. So those are two things that it means. One, sinless. Two, remains eternal Son of God. And then the central point, which that's the bottom and the top if you're looking at it. The central point is he was truly human. He was truly human. He took to himself, if you look in the second line, took to himself. The issue here is that he took to himself a human nature. Here we go. Is the hand shot? I was trying to get this hand on here so I could do these virtual circles around this phrase. The issue here is that the eternal Son of God did not lose anything of his divinity, but took to himself, added unto himself, a human nature while remaining true God. Just a parallel, just an illustration, not the same thing. But you can think of, for one example, when God appeared to Moses in and through a burning bush, or a bush that appeared to be burning but was not being consumed. That is a revelation of God, and God speaks in human language, but that does not change the nature of God. It does not detract from God. It's a revelation in the world. And the ultimate, climactic, and absolutely unique revelation of God in the world is Jesus Christ, the person, the man, truly human, truly God, added unto himself, took to himself the human nature through the working of the Holy Spirit. Of course, through the working of the Holy Spirit. He would not be born of sinful flesh, but by the supernatural and unique work of the Holy Spirit, he took to himself human nature. And your cross references here for your study. Let's flip to the next page. Question 36. How does holy conception and birth of Christ benefit you? Well, first of all, let me just say a word. I don't think I've used it to this point, although I might have. Incarnation is what that doctrine is called. Incarnation. The coming in flesh. The taking unto himself a human nature. Incarnation. Question 36. How does the Holy Conception and birth of Christ benefit you? He is our mediator. And with his innocence and perfect holiness, he removes from God's sight my sin. Mine, since I was conceived. Your cross references here, and then the memory verse for this week. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So how does it benefit? How does it benefit? Salvation. He is our mediator. This is all about redemption. This is all God working out his plan and purpose to redeem unto himself, to bring into relationship with himself sinners who do not deserve him, who rebelled against him, who are living for themselves, living for ourselves, not for him. Well, God intervenes and saves us. How does he do that? Through Jesus. We need a mediator. A mediator is one who stands in the middle of a conflict and attempts to bring the two parties back into a right relationship, to erase the conflict, to bring peace. The mediator must truly represent each party. Christ does that. He truly represents God. He is God. He truly represents man. He is man. But since he's without sin, he is able to stand in the middle and reconcile and represent sinners back to God and for God. So we could go on and on about this because this is Christianity in a nutshell. God redeeming unto himself sinners through Christ. God revealing himself to sinners through Christ. But I will shut it down. 1 Timothy 5:6. 1 Timothy 5:6. Read this one more time. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. If today you want God, you must go to Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Christ. Thank you for his incarnation, this central miracle of Scripture that leads to these other works of Christ that he did. He lived and he died and he rose and he ascended. All these things he did, growing out of, flowing out of this incarnation to come to be one of us, yet to be perfect, perfectly obedient, perfectly holy, perfectly righteous in every way. Father, this is the way you've chosen to save us. We're so thankful you've brought us into your kingdom. It's in Christ we lift this prayer to you. Amen. All right, my friends, thanks for joining, and I'll see you tomorrow, Monday. Actually, no, this week I'm going to have to do the Confession of Faith on Tuesday rather than Monday. So Tuesday for Confession of Faith, week 14, and the next Sunday for Catechism 2021, the 15th Lord's Day. God bless you. We'll see you soon.